Welcome back, everybody, to Burns 365, a Tuesday edition camp reporting day, everybody. The Philadelphia Eagles have officially reported to training camp for the 2024 season. Big Bill, it's here, brother. How you feeling on this Tuesday?
Finally, it is here.
Yeah,
gives us something to talk about. My God, how much are we going to talk about last season's collapse for the last 4 months? Bro, I can't wait to turn the page.
You're telling us, man. We know better than anybody.
Yeah. Jesus. So finally, it's here. I'm excited.
All right, I'm going to start you off with a tough one, but what the hell, you can handle it, Bill.
Oh boy.
So I want you to try, and it's difficult, but try to go back to the Eagles entering free agency. And I want you to take coaching out of the equation, because we can talk about Nick Sirianni and what they did to him, or the upgrading coordinator. So I want to put that to the side. I want to talk just about the talent assembled by Howie Roseman, because I think a lot of people gave Howie his flowers in the offseason. Do you think this is a better football team from a talent perspective than when they entered free agency? Because remember, Jason Kelce, Fletcher Cox, Hassan Reddick, gone. Players like that. Where's Bill Colarulo just from the talent perspective?
That is a tough question, John. You're not even going to ease me in. I haven't even had my coffee yet today. That is a tough question. I'm going to say yes, but not by much because of the names that you mentioned, because you did lose Reddick, Cox, and Kelce. However, I do think you've upgraded from talent. I think your running back is more talented. I like DeAndre Swift, but I think your running back's more talented. On defense, I certainly think the back seven should be more talented. Last year, you came into the season with Terrell Edmonds and Justin Evans as potential starters at safety. Well, now you bring in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who I think is a lot more talented. I'm expecting Reed Blankenship to be better, because I'm also factoring that in. I think these guys are going to take a leap forward. You could say the same thing about the offensive line. Landon Dickerson, Jordan Mailata should be better this year than they were last year. And then you look at the linebacker room. I'm not sold on Devin White, but from a talent perspective, I think he's more talented than Nick Morrow, Zach Cunningham, or even Shaq Leonard, who joined the team late in the season. And then certainly your cornerbacks, you'd have to say, are more talented. You have Isaiah Rodgers. You and I are both very high on Kelee Ringo. I expect more from him in year two. And now you've added the youngsters, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. So I think they are more talented, but it's not by much because of the names you mentioned that are no longer with the team.
Yeah, those are some big losses, as you pointed out. I mean, you know, can't underestimate those guys. Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelce, even Hassan Reddick, who was one of the best pass rushers in the league in the last 2 years. Bill, let's go quarterback on you here as we start the year. It's a new campaign, an entirely new season for Jalen Hurts to show he's that MVP caliber QB he showed in 22. The question is, will Jalen Hurts return to MVP form in 2024? Why or why not?
I think he will. And if you remember, he was the front runner to win the MVP through week 12 last season.
Yes, he was. So
we all remember the collapse towards the end of the season, but I really didn't think things were that terrible with Jalen last year. Yeah, it wasn't good enough. It wasn't what he did in 2022, but you look at the final numbers and you look at the product he put on the field. I think a lot of that had more to do with the fact that I don't think he trusted the offense. I don't think he trusted the play calling. Turnovers were a major issue last season, going from 8 to 20. But what's funny is we talk about turnovers. You look at 2022 when he was the MVP, he fumbled the ball 9 times. They just recovered it a lot more than they did last season. He fumbled the ball 9 times last year too. So he had very similar from the fumble perspective, but I do think he's going to get back to the MVP that we saw 2022 to start 2023, and mainly because of Kellen Moore. I do have a lot of high hopes for Kellen Moore. John and I, we've talked about this before. I don't think Kellen Moore is going to try to force Jalen Hurts to fit Kellen Moore's offense like Kevin McConnell did to Josh Dobbs in Minnesota. I think what you're going to see is Kellen Moore build an offense to take advantage of what Jalen Hurts does well. And when you have an offensive coordinator that's going to do that with all the weapons that they have on offense, I'd be shocked if Jalen isn't in the conversation for MVP by the end of the season.
Yeah, I think, you know, the turnovers and regressing back to the mean and getting back to that ball security, which Jalen Hurts has typically been very good at in his career, I think that alone solves a lot of problems. I really do. I've said that from the start. But I do think, you know, NFL teams are relentless, and nobody's going to feel sorry for you, Bill, in this league. And look, it's now sort of a constant around the league that the Eagles have trouble with the blitz, and people are going to bring it until they figure it out. And to me, we talked about this a little bit past couple of days we've done this show. That's about on the field. That's about the players on the field. That isn't about, you know, it's about the coaches from a preparation standpoint and getting the players prepared to handle that on the field. And that, to me, is going to be the biggest part of Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier and this offense as a whole, getting Jalen Hurts comfortable enough to get off the default bubble screen or the vertical routes, get him into some more hot routes, get him into some easy solutions where you just move the chains. That, to me, is what the whole season is about. The evolution of Jalen Hurts as a quarterback. I don't care about any of that. Evolution as a quarterback. And I know it's esoteric, but isn't that more important?
It is, but I think they kind of go hand in hand, because I think if Jalen Hurts is more of a general at the line of scrimmage, able to read defenses, get the right calls, get the audibles done if necessary, I think he's going to have more success. Because if you look last season, if they had answers for the blitz, would we be sitting here talking about Jalen Hurts' regression? He probably is dominating all season last year, because where they really struggled against the Giants, against the Bucks, was against the blitz, even though everyone knew it was coming. So I'm right there with you. It is on Jalen, but it's also on the coaches to get him ready, because the fact that, and I know Dallas Goedert has said, and we're trying to turn the page on last season, but I remember Dallas Goedert had said they did have blitz calls. They just didn't get into them at times in that Tampa game. It just, to me, knowing that Todd Bowles was going to blitz you, knowing that Wink Martindale was going to blitz you, and they didn't have any answers for it, was shocking to me. And I thought that was a major indictment on not only Jalen Hurts, but Brian Johnson, Nick Sirianni. And we love Jeff Stoutland. I do too. We love Jason Kelsey. I do too. They have to share in that responsibility as well. They're also aware of the blitz. They're also aware of pass protection. But I know that gets brushed aside, and it's Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni's fault. But the offensive line has to be to blame as well when you have those blitz protections not being put in place. But I'm with you. I want Jalen to become a better general at the line of scrimmage. Now, one thing that could help that we know Kellen Moore is going to utilize is the pre-snap motion. Makes it a lot easier to read the defense at times if you are running some motion. I mean, to make it in its most simplistic form, your receiver goes in motion and the corner goes with him. It's usually man coverage, right, John? I mean, it should be a little bit easier for him to pick up on what they're doing at times, but I'm with you. Jalen has to grow as a field general and be able to make the calls at the line of scrimmage that can really help this team get in and out of plays that may be troublesome.
You know, it's interesting with the motion aspect of it, and it was Jim Schwartz who kind of taught me that, and he called it either Jim liked eyewash, a lot of people like eye candy. Really, I do think that's a little bit overrated, especially with defensive coordinators like Vic Fangio. Now, luckily, the Eagles have him, but, you know, you might try to feign the quarterback into thinking it's man-to-man coverage if they're, and then sort of spin off into something different, which is basically Vic's whole philosophy, to not give it up until post-snap. And there's other guys, and I've talked to Nick about this, and, you know, Phillip Rivers, one of the smartest quarterbacks of his generation, played, whatever, 18, 19 years. He hated motion. He wanted the structure because he he could read the defense properly by the formation, more than motion. And Sean McVay himself, the king of motion, the king, he's the guy. He calls it the illusion of complexity. Really, what you're trying to do with motion is fool the defense and test the eyes of the defense. Like, you got a bunch of young cornerbacks, you know, they kind of lose their eyes and they lose their discipline, and all of a sudden you got a broken coverage. From the reading of defensive perspective, from everyone I've talked to, that's a little bit overrated. But bottom line is, Jalen Hurts has got to be prepared better. So I think for the people that want to criticize the coaching staff, that's where you start. As Dallas said, oh, it's in the offense, but yeah, you got to get to it. And if you don't get to it, nobody knows it's in the offense. And that's where you get this mind-numbing to me, Bill. I don't know how much you hear it on the radio, but to me, it's mind-numbing. Oh, you got to call a hot route. Nobody calls a hot route. It's built into the offense. The quarterback's got to get to it.
Well, I don't know. You probably saw Tom Brady. I guess it was about a month ago now.
Yeah, it was great. I talk about it all the time.
Yeah, talked about the most important thing with the quarterback is what they do before the ball's even snapped. That you should know if a play is going to be successful before the ball's even snapped. So, look, nobody ever questions Jalen's work ethic. I know last season there were conversations about they wanted him to be a better leader. That's been talked about this offseason. But we know the guy is a relentless worker. So I expect him to really dive into this offense and do the things that you're talking about. And that is probably the most important storyline of the season for the offense, because it's not talent. We know they're talented. It's going to be, how does Jalen Hurts handle learning Kellen Moore's offense, making it his own, and then being able to make the right calls when defenses blitz him, because the blueprint's out there now. The way to try to beat Jalen Hurts is do it the way they did at the end of the season when they had zero answers for it. But no, you look at the 49ers, though. I say the blueprint's out there. They didn't necessarily blitz him a lot.
No, well, Nick Bosa said make him play quarterback, which was kind of insulting.
Yeah.
That was very insulting.
Which is, you know, bullshit, because the Eagles have had success against Nick Bosa before. Obviously, they didn't last year, but for the most part, Lane's kind of dominated him when they have played. So I thought that was unfair, but I think it is fair to point out, look, the guy has struggled with the blitz. And to your point, I wanted to bring that up about Jason Kelce. Look, Jason is not perfect. He's a human being. But you're not going to get better play from your center as far as calling pass protections than Jason Kelce. So I'm not going to go down that route. He's not going to have better this year, I guarantee you.
No, and trust me, this wasn't a shot at Jason Kelce as much as it was. When you look at the offense, yes, the primary responsibility is always on the quarterback, but that was an epic failure against the blitz across the board. It wasn't as if the offensive line or the coaching staff was doing Jalen any favors either. I mean, Jalen does need to get into the protections, but I didn't see anybody making changes, whether it was offensive linemen.
And that's Jason's responsibility, which I don't like in general, because I want the quarterback to have it. And I think the Eagles are going to keep it with Cam Jurgens. I don't like that.
Yeah.
But in the case of Jason, look, if I'm assigning blame, he's last on the list, because I know what he brings to the table. And I know 95% of the time, maybe higher, he's going to do the right thing. Not every time.
Look, I love Kelce. You can't say anything negative about Kelce. You'll get killed. I'll probably get attacked in the chat for this. But I do think that in this city, the people we love, we don't criticize.
Oh, of course.
Jason Kelce, as much as we love him, he was a leader on that team. So when we talk about how Nick Sirianni couldn't stop the bleed, Nick Sirianni's not a great coach, what about the veteran leadership that we were supposed to have on that team? Jason Kelce was a veteran leader on that team. He couldn't stop the bleed either. So this is less of an indictment on Jason Kelce and just more on the fact of why I was in support of Sirianni coming back. I felt like there were a lot of factors at play last year for the team to have the collapse that they did. It wasn't just because they didn't have good leadership. They didn't have a great head coach. It wasn't just the OC. It wasn't just the DC. It wasn't because the defensive personnel was terrible. It wasn't just the Super Bowl hangover. I mean, all these things that I'm mentioning, I think, are part of why it went the way that it did. But we do absolve some people that we love.
Yeah, it's a no question. I talk about it all the time in Philadelphia. But with Jason, I'd be more like, all right, you get a big guy, Vita Vea, Linval Joseph in his days with the Giants and Vikings.
Yeah.
Yeah, he struggled with those guys. But
we're never going to see another Kelsey. He's the best. No. He's the best center we've ever seen. But when you do, I always just thought it was ironic that there's accusations made about Sirianni and Hurts and them losing the locker room and not being great leaders. But then it's, wait a second. We got two of the best leaders we've ever had for the Eagles franchise.
Xander and I had this discussion, Bill. Xander, you remember this. I'm sorry. I think I called it bullshit. The whole locker room leadership, when they're 10-1, they got the best leaders in the NFL.
I'm with you, man. Jason Kelsey
and Brandon Graham. Not only the same thing. Yeah. Lane Johnson.
And it was also the same thing with Jalen
Fletcher.
In 2022, when they're winning all these games, all the narrative was,
what a leader, how stoic he is.
Love it's such bullshit. He's not too high. He's not too low. And then when they lose games, it's like, we need emotion. Yeah. Winning cures all.
It's bullshit. It is absolute bullshit. The Eagles didn't lose those four guys, the core four, when they were 10-1. They were all in that locker room. They're the same guys. They didn't become bad leaders overnight. It's ridiculous. I mean, you win on the field. You don't win because you got the best leaders. Because the Eagles have had that group together, which is very rare in the modern NFL, if it was all just about leaders, they'd win all the time. But it isn't. It's absurd.
The best part is we get to close the book on last year, John, because training camp is here, man.
Yes, it is, Bill.
That's the best part of today.
Bill, well, the last year resulted in coordinators going out the door and two new coordinators coming in. Now we have Kellen Moore. We have Vic Fangio as we approach the 2024 season. How bad will the growing pains be with two new coordinators? I mean, you know, there's a lot of made of this in the NFL that when you get new coordinators, it takes time, especially in the modern NFL, Bill, where they're not doing two-a-days and three-a-days and all summer long. It's a short off season. They don't practice all that much. How bad will the growing pains be as we enter the year? How long could it take them to get to click on all cylinders?
I think it's going to be more growing pains for the offense than the defense. I think that the defense will be able to pick it up more. I just think that it's always harder to pick up a new offense. So that's what I'm thinking. And look, I'm not expecting to see a lot of these players in the preseason. I think that may make some fans upset, but I was looking at some of the schedule and the way it plays out. You open up your preseason against the Ravens. Well, they play the Ravens this year in the regular season. So we know Sirianni's obsessed with competitive advantage. I doubt you're going to see much. They don't already put much in the preseason games. It's usually vanilla anyhow. Certainly would be against the Ravens. Then you have the joint practice against the Patriots. So you're not going to see them in the preseason 2 days later when you play the Patriots. They'll get most of the work in the joint practice. And then you have your final game against the Vikings. I don't know how much you'll see the starters there. So I'm with you. They're not going to have a lot of opportunities outside of these practices to instill the offensive game plans and play calling and all that. But I'm expecting, I think the defense will be fine. When I say fine, I'm not expecting them to jump into a top five defense when you're 30th last season. But I think you'll see less growing pains with the defense, more growing pains with an offense where if Jalen Hurts is right, which I don't think he was, saying 95% new. I'm not expecting that.
No,
much
I think he was talking about the terminology, which is probably 95% new.
And the way I read it too, John, was, and this would make sense to me, what they were implementing in mandatory minicamp was 95% new. Because why not take advantage of the minicamp to put a lot of the new stuff in? but that this season you're not going to see a 95% new offense. They were just implementing a lot of new plays and terminology. Yeah,
I don't even think there are two offenses in the NFL that much
that are
different.
95%.
Yeah,
different.
I mean, it's
all the same crap.
But that's where
I am. I think defense you'll see, because I think the defense will be able to make up for a lot.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Just with talent and more sure tackling than what you got last season. And I always
they're playing the same scheme, essentially.
Yeah, and I always think – I just think it's easier with a defense to be able to pick up a new coordinator than it is for an offense.
They've been running Vic's scheme for the last couple of years, so it's not like it's entirely new.
Now, the one issue the defense is going to have is if you look at the first couple of games, or the first game at least, against the Packers pretty much have same offensive coach in Matt LaFleur, same offensive personnel. They've added Josh Jacobs to the backfield. But
I think they downgraded in the backfield.
You like
Aaron Jones guy. Big Aaron. When he's healthy. I mean, he destroyed the Cowboys single-handedly in the playoffs. But I didn't understand that.
If you look, it's going to be tough for the defense because, yeah, Green Bay is going to come out. Now, the offense may have success because they have a brand-new defensive coordinator in Green Bay. So they're going through some change. Jeff Hafley, never been a DC in the NFL before.
Yeah, that was a weird hire. That was
Atlanta the next week, similar. I mean, it's a whole new coaching staff, but they got new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator.
And then a 38-year-old quarterback coming off a torn Achilles. Don't forget that.
I do think they could be a sneaky, explosive team. I don't think they're going to win a shit.
Well, I think they will. It depends. You have to see how healthy Kirk Cousins is.
Yeah, it's true.
But the one thing Cousins should be able to do is they have a ton of weapons there. I mean, that was part of the reason that Arthur Smith was fired. He never could figure out how to take advantage of all these weapons. You have Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and yet it seemed like he never wanted to use any of these players.
Yeah, it's true.
A little bit of breaking news. It's breaking news time of year. 23 teams are reporting to camp today. Hassan Reddick is not one of them. He is not reporting to Jets camp. So everybody can get their apology letters sent to Howie Roseman in care of the Eagles.
Why would the Jets make that trade?
Desperation. I mean, Joe Douglas is GMing for his job, I'd like to term it, and they got to win football games. And eventually, Hassan will be in. And they find you $50K. That's ballsy a day. And now you can't. Back in the old days, you could you could waive those fines. So you'd have these big, long holdouts. And the teams, you'd finally get together with the player and just say, all right, we're going to waive the fines.
Yeah.
Well, they put it in CBA now. You can't waive the fines. That's how they eliminated most holdouts.
So this is bittersweet, though, John, because it makes you feel good about Howie Roseman's decision. But at the same time, we need him to play.
Well, you're not getting that.
Yeah, how many snaps do we need?
I think it was 70%, somewhere around 70%.
And he needs double-digit sacks again, right?
Yeah, you're not getting that pick. I mean, I didn't think you were getting that pick unless the Jets are incredibly stupid to begin with. And they may, you know, you can make an argument they are. So that, you know,
here's what scares me, though, about it. And look, who says it in the chat? Saquad says it in the chat. We're putting a lot of hopes on Bryce Huff.
I love Bryce Huff. I think he's going to be a great player.
But here's what makes me nervous, John. I'm a big fan of Bryce Huff. I think that when you project like the Eagles are doing with him, they could have hit a home run. But the New York Jets had him there. They could have very easily kept him for $17 million a year. Instead, they make a trade for Hassan Reddick, who's already making $15 million, who wants to be paid more, who's older than Bryce Huff. It just makes me question, why not keep him in the building? If you're the Jets, why not keep Bryce Huff in the building? Because we're putting a lot of hopes on this kid, and I'm excited for him just like you are. But Rob Saleh's not a dumb guy when it comes to defensive players.
Nah, I mean,
why let him out the door?
That might just be chalked up to being a better GM, Bill. I mean,
I wasn't crazy
about the Reddick trade when you talked about the future pick, but from the perspective of you get younger, you get cheaper. I mean, Howie made the right move from that regard, and that might be what it's chalked up to. Better GM play by Howie Roseman.
Yeah. From the standpoint, and remember, the Jets are worried about this season. Nothing else, because Joe Douglas isn't going to be there if they don't win this season.
Yeah.
And they should
win this season. Eagles, wouldn't you say the Eagles need Bryce Huff to perform this season? I know they signed
for
years, but he needs to perform this year.
Yeah, he definitely needs, and I think he will, but it is a projection. It's fair to point out. Hassan's not a projection. I think this might look bad for one season when Hassan eventually gets in for a couple reasons. One, he's still a good player. Two, the Jets are really talented on defense. None of this. They might be the most talented defense in the NFL. So he's going to have a tremendous supporting cast on top of it, helping him be that type of player. Whereas, you know, Bryce is on a rebuilding defense as a player you got to count on for the first time. So maybe in the short term, it doesn't look as good. But then 2-3 years down the road, it's going to look really good. But, you know, the argument from the people that hated the deal was that the Eagles are a Super Bowl contender right now and they should be going for it. And I get it, but I'm kind of torn on that because, you know, the old adage, better to give up a player on a year early than a year late.
Yeah.
If you get younger, more cost effective, longer shelf life. Yeah, it's like Xander says, that's good GMing. But I think if you gave Vic Mangio the true serum, I think he'd say he'd rather have Hassan Reddick for one season.
Yeah, I would have. But look, it's becoming clear, I guess, he wasn't going to play on the one-year deal.
No.
So you were going to have to extend him.
Yeah.
And you might be. I'm still curious to see what – because you know Reddick's going to play this year. He's not going to sit out. So I'm curious to see what the end solution is if he does, in fact, get a extension, how much it's for. Because if the Eagles could have given him one additional year – maybe paid him $18, $19 million. But from what I understand, he wanted a lot more than that. But
yeah, he wants $25, $26. And well, I don't think he's getting it.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
But from the Eagles' perspective, it was about also, and you see this throughout the league, he performed for the Philadelphia Eagles. He did not perform for the New York Jets. And by that, I mean, He feels more disrespected by the Eagles not entering into those kinds of numbers than he will with the Jets. And the Jets will probably get that Band-Aid contract, $19, $20 million. They'll probably be able to get that done. I think it would have been more difficult for the Eagles to get that done.
Yeah. He
had one of the best defensive seasons in Eagles history during the Super Bowl season.
And he was arguably your best defensive player again last year.
He was, I would say. I mean, but him or Fletch, probably.
But, hey, yeah, Howie's looking good right now. Let's hope that he made the right call with Bryce Huff and Nolan Smith on the edge.
Bill, last one for me. September 6th, the Eagles play the Packers in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Who's going to be the cornerback opposite Darius Slay on that game?
Oh, that is a good question. I'm going Keeley. I think Keeley Ringo. I think Keeley Ringo wins that job. In fact, I was on last week on the best show ever, and me and Tyrone were battling about this because he was saying that if Quinyon Mitchell isn't the starting cornerback this season, that it's a wasted pick. And I was saying it's not a wasted pick. If the reason he's not the starting cornerback is because Kelee Ringo outplays him and the defense is a lot better. Now, if Quinyon Mitchell can't get on the field because he's not good enough and the defense is still struggling and you don't have any answers, yeah, Quinyon Mitchell maybe was a bad first-round draft pick. I'm not willing to rule that on this first season, though. But if Kelee Ringo just simply beats him out and this defense is vastly improved, I'm okay with Quinyon waiting in the wings. And then next season, you probably move on from 34-year-old Slay at that point. And now you got Quinyon Mitchell and Kelee Ringo on the outside, Cooper DeJean working in the nickel.
Boy, I'm excited about that secondary. This city is tough, man. At Bill Colarulo, by the way, make sure you follow Bill on X. I'm on Team Tyrone. It's going to be Quinyon week
no
one.
No way.
I'm on Team Tyrone, but where I defect from Team Tyrone is he's a failure as a pick if he's not on the field.
Well, he was saying not that Quinyon was a failure. I don't want to put words in Tyrone's mouth. Basically, what he was saying was that would be the second year in a row that Howie Roseman used a first-round draft pick that didn't contribute to a bad defense, is essentially what he was saying.
Because he's not out there in week one? What if he's out there and Nolan Smith is obviously he's talking about because people forget Jalen Carter was pretty impactful. He was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
So you think
Quinyon's week one starting corner?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's my plot, and I love Kelee Ringo, as you know, Bill. But my whole point is, look, Quinyon's got the highest ceiling of them all. That's where the Eagles want to go. He's a good player. He had a good spring. I don't think he's going to have a bad summer. And I look back to what Kansas City did a couple years ago when they played all the young defensive backs, and they kind of struggled.
Yeah.
But by the second half of the season, those guys were kicking in and getting better. I think that's what you do. I think you get the startup cost over with, and maybe you got a big-time player by the second half of the season. That's what I think.
When Howie Roseman spoke, he did say, maybe we play the young guys a little bit more. I remember what he said. He said the coaches will look at the depth chart and maybe not feel comfortable because the guy hasn't done it yet, but we drafted them for a reason. So,
But as Diana Rossini said on her podcast this week, and she is 100% correct, Vic is going to do what Vic wants to do.
Yeah.
So if he wants to play Kelee Ringo is going to be out there. And if he wants to play Isaiah Rogers, he's going to be out there.
I'm sorry.
Now let me say this.
Look, I think Vic's going to do what he wants to do, but to a certain extent. This is the Philadelphia Eagles, John McMullen. Vic Fangio isn't coming in here as a first-time coordinator in Philly.
Yes, he
and
is.
Telling Howie Roseman who he wants on the field. And that's
here's the only thing I have to say with that. And I'm going to get accused of being Dave Spadaro again. Here's what bothers me, and I get the same narrative on the radio about Roseman and Lurie. At the end of the day, these guys want to win football games. They do want to win football games. They do want to win championships. So if Howie Roseman is being told by his defensive coordinator that Isaiah Rogers or Kelee Ringo gives us the best chance to win, I don't think he's going to say, I don't care, play Quinyon Mitchell because I'd rather lose football games and be right. I think they're going to do what's best for the football.
That's not what I'm saying, though. But it's a delicate balance. And for those who think Howie is all-powerful and he tells everybody what to do, why didn't Nolan Smith play last year? Because Nick wanted to win freaking football games. That's why he didn't play last year.
He wasn't ready,
And if Vic wants to play, and by the way, everybody genuflex. I think they genuflect when they cross Vic Fangio in that building. They're not going to dispute his defensive football acumen. So, you know, you got a guy who's playing Quinyon Mitchell at nine linebacker in the spring. If Sean Desai did that, they'd run him out on a rail. I point it out all the time. It's Vic. All right. Hey, Vic said he can play nine linebacker. Let's put him at dime linebacker.
Yeah.
He's going to play who he wants to play. Now, if Howie really wants to avert that, he can do the Billy Beane Moneyball thing, and he could just cut somebody or trade somebody and force him to play somebody.
Is John McMullen hot take Kelee Ringo's getting cut?
No.
I know. No. I'm just kidding.
Well, John, but then why? So you're when you say you think it's going to be Quinyon Mitchell, you think it's because he's going to be the best player on the field, and that's who
I got to be very close. Quinyon's very good. He had a very good spring. We're all talking about Rodgers and Ringo, and they had the better springs. But Mitchell was very good as well. And I think as it goes on, it will be very close. And if it's close, you might as well play the guy with the upside, the highest ceiling. And
yeah, but wouldn't that be a Howie directive?
No, that's common sense directive. Bick's not going to go in there and say, oh, Quinyon Mitchell stinks. I mean,
he's a good player. Saying that, but if you have a guy that's slightly better and you're Vic, yeah, Fangio,
my concern, and I know you got to go, Bill. Here's my concern with Bick. As long as Bradbury's here, then you're really throwing. I think Howie made a mistake there because Bick is going to go in and say, I got James Bradbury, and all these young quarterbacks don't know what the bleep they're doing. Can I play James Bradbury? That's my concern. That's
a bigger concern. I think Bradbury's gone, but that's
a conversation. Well, I agree, but yeah. Howie should have gotten rid of him by now is my point.
Well, the nice thing is, the next time that we all speak, we'll have a week of practice under our belt to be able to talk about. And we'll have a better understanding of what's going on instead of all this just projections, because everything's projections right now. We have no idea.
And I think we'll get a lot more answers than we're even thinking in the first week. We're going to find out some things real quick. So I'm excited to see. Bill, thanks for joining the show today, man. Great as always. We appreciate it. Where are you at on 97.5 this week? Give a little plug for where you're going to be, where people can listen to.
Two to seven all week. So
two to seven. All week. Good week.
Yep. Doing extra work with Andrew DeCecco. Look at you.
Yeah, 97.5 and NBC Sports Philly. I'm on TV all week, too.
All right.
Nice. I'll have you tuned up here in my studio. I'll be listening to you, Bill, watching you. We appreciate, man, you joining the show today. We'll talk to you next week. All right, Bill.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Talk soon.
Thanks,
Bill Colarulo joining us on Birds 365. Good stuff from Bill Colarulo. Johnny Mack, I disagree with you about – look, Howie came out after the season and said, we maybe should have played Nolan Smith more. This is where I agree with you, Berger, where I think Quinyon's going to take the field. Because if Howie says that last year in hindsight about the season, I don't think he's going to let us get through another season. If he wants a draft pick to play for whatever reason, it's going to happen. I don't think Vic Fangio is going to overrule.
If Quinyon Mitchell shows up in the summer and he plays like Nolan Smith played last summer, he's not going to play.
We'll see.
But now, I don't believe that's going to happen. I mean, part of my projection is he's going to be good. Not that he's going to be terrible and they're going to play him because he's a first-round pick. If he shows up in the summer and he fails, he's not going to play. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying he's going to play well. I'm saying if it's even close, if maybe Kaylee plays a little bit better or if Isaiah plays a little bit better, that's a possibility. In that instance, he's still going to play. If he shows up and he plays like Nolan Smith played last year in camp, he's not going to play.
Well, this
so
is
that's
where,
not what I'm saying.
No, I hear you. I see what you're saying. You're still factoring in that he's going to be a competent, good player. But this is where I'm like, this is where I'm off Isaiah Rodgers, because even if he's great or even if he looks great in camp, Howie's like, there's no long-term here for the in Philadelphia. So get my young guys out there. Get the guys I spent a first-round pick on. Get Keely Ringo out there. Get Cooper DeJean out there. That's why I don't see the playing time for Isaiah Rodgers. And you could make the argument, Vic wants to win right now. If Isaiah Rodgers is better than them, he would play him. But we're going to see how it looks. I think Howie's still going to have some level of say in who's out there on the defense. I really do. I don't think Vic's just going to be able to say, oh, I'm doing this for this reason, and that's it. End of story.
Yeah, if Isaiah Rodgers comes in and plays like the best corner on the team, he's going to play because they have Quinyon for 5 years, and they have Cooper for 4 years, and they can afford to wait. And they do want to win a Super Bowl. So if he goes in and shows everybody he is Deion Sanders, he's going to play. Now, will they have to address it going forward? Of course. You know, and you want to keep a player like that, but I would hesitate. He's a good player. He's not a great player. Even Christian Parker, the new secondary coach, said, let's see when the pads come on, because one of the big issues in Indianapolis was he wasn't terrific in run support. It's not the most physical guy. So you have to see that. Bottom line is Quinion Mitchell has a much bigger upside. Doesn't mean he's going to turn into a star player. We talk about Devin White all the time. He was the fifth pick in the draft. It's no guarantee, but he's got the traits to have a much bigger upside. Same thing with Kaylee Ringo. But Bick's going to play who he wants to play on game days. Now, he has no control over the 53-man roster. So, again, you better get Bradbury the hell out of here.
Yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. Johnny Mac, let's get to our next, our second commercial break here. Great stuff from Bill Colarua. We have Scott Grayson from Fox 29 coming up in about 15 or 14 minutes here on Birds 365. Appreciate all of our viewership today on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. Make sure you guys drop a like on the show, as it's the best thing you can do to help support Birds 365 and help us grow. We appreciate that very much. So stay tuned. Birds 365. We'll be right back.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.